Thank you for allowing us to go be with family. Amen. And I just do love and appreciate everyone that is here. I just welcome you all and welcome and just trusting God to help us. Amen. The book of John, chapter 20. And I just felt this message on my heart today. Amen. I want to preach to you on moving from doubt to delight. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The title, Moving from Doubt to Delight. We want to move from doubt to delight today. I trust God has given us some direction. I have, this week I was able to get out one day. I said, you forget how far everything is in North Carolina. Hey, man, you want to go to the gas station? It takes you 20 minutes. And I was able, I called Brother Brandon Brockmeyer there, and his church is in Dunn. And I said, you mind if I get a key to that church one day? I got to spend some time with Jesus. Amen. You know, it's nice spending time with family, but just want to get alone. Amen. Where there's no noise, nothing. You know, turn that phone off and just lay on your face before the Lord. And I just felt like God was talking to my heart and just showing me some things. And, you know, how many knows God, you know, as a preacher, you would only understand this as a preacher. There's sometimes God comes in a room or comes in your life and begins to deal with you on things. Doesn't mean it's necessarily for that church. Amen. Begins to deal with you. But then once again, I've often said this, but there's a lot of times God does deal with me on something and turns around and says, I want you to talk to that church about it as well. And I feel that's the case today. I want to talk to you about unbelief and the damaging effects of unbelief. Amen. What it is when we doubt God. And, you know, nobody in this room today would stand up and say, I doubt God. And there's nothing you want to stand up and raise your hand and say, you know, who wants to doubt God today? Nobody's going to jump up and down and say, pick me. But we do wrestle with things, and I want to talk to us today about that. And there is grace in this message, I will tell you that. This is the message not to condemn you, but it is to convict you. And understand, the grace of God is here to help you, even in the midst of your doubt. Amen. God wants to help you today. If you would, John chapter 20 and verse 24, and this is what it says. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, and that word Didymus means twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. Amen. Most of your atheists will say, I can't believe. And this guy's saying, I will not believe until I see it. Amen. He has to see some proof. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But this famous phrase here, please get it in your spirit. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Aren't they beautiful words? Amen. We're going to talk today on moving from doubt to delight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you, we do thank you today, Lord, for this privilege and this opportunity, God, that we can talk about the things of God. And we know that you can help us here today. God, you can strengthen us and give us direction. I would today that you'd anoint us, Lord. You'd show us your way. You'd help us here, even this congregation. I know some may be weary in body. But God, give them strength. Give them energy to endure. And help us, God, to press in and receive from you today. We love you and thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. According to the Apostle John here, as we read here in this Gospel, Thomas was not present on that Easter Sunday evening when Jesus appeared to the other disciples and devoted followers. You would find that in verse 24. You know the story. That there how, we'll go into it more in a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we know how Jesus did reveal himself to the disciples and Thomas was not present. We know also that regardless of what his friends had said to him, Thomas refused to believe that Jesus had risen till he saw Jesus with his own eyes. That's when he made that great declaration that earned him that very famous title as Doubting Thomas. Amen. You ever call Thomas Doubting Thomas? Amen. We know that he didn't always doubt because he died as a missionary in India later on. Amen. We know that it caught on sometime. But we know that Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas, we see this story in the Bible, and we know that the Holy Ghost did not inspire John to include this just to embarrass Thomas. Amen. And sometimes God, when you notice in the Bible, any time that God reveals the faults of somebody, it's not just to embarrass them. Amen. But he's using that fault, he's using that failure, or he's using that weakness to use it as an open display to teach you and I a lesson. Amen. Aren't you glad that God didn't write a book about you? Come on now. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave the book open and say, well, Derek Jones on this day doubted me. And you see what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be amazing? I like what one writer said it like this. He said, when God talked about characters in the Bible, he talked about warts and all. Amen. He talked about all of it. He revealed their shortcomings and all the things that did wrong, but even the good things about them. So we notice today, rather than embarrassing Thomas, the Holy Ghost led John to record this because God has an important thing to teach us about our own doubts and our own kind of seeing and really believing and what really brings joy to us as believers. Now, when we move into this today, I'm going to deal with this word unbelief. Amen. You ever heard of it before? Have you ever had any? The first amen was louder. Amen. You ever heard of unbelief? Have you ever had any? Amen. Yes, you have. Amen. And unless you think you haven't, well, it's nice to meet Jesus again, I guess. Amen. Because we know that doubts and unbelief are real in the world in which we live. We know that unbelief is the opposite of faith. And it is doubt. And unbelief, we know that faith is something that we believe in the Lord. It's things, it's the substance of things, the evidence of things that we hope for, things that we have not seen. So we notice this today, the opposite of faith is doubt and unbelief. We stand strong in Jesus Christ by faith. However, the reverse is also true. We also fall away from Christ through unbelief. If you have an evil heart of unbelief, you will find yourself drifting further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's a warning all throughout Scripture how unbelief can start as something very small, but work its way in your life and begin to grow until it has diminish you spiritually. Now, when it comes to the Bible, there are two kinds of unbelief. When we come to unbelief, there's two different kinds. The one kind of unbelief is doubt accompanied by a desire to believe. It's the man that said this, Lord, I believe, help thou my what? Unbelief. Amen. It's those that look want to believe. It's those that are optimistic. And it's those that really say, Lord, I'm not doubting you're the Savior. I'm not doubting you're the King. I'm not doubting that you have power and ability. But I don't understand what's going on right now. Why hadn't this happened? Why is this going on? And you begin to be like Thomas in a sense. Now, I believe Thomas was of this first nature. He wasn't an evil person. He was not somebody that was mad at God to the place. I ain't going to believe that mess anymore. No. He is wanting to see something. He is wanting some proof. He is wanting some evidence. And brothers and sisters, even though in the Bible, unbelief in any form is never praised or glorified, we are told this, that God at times has been faithful to show himself in certain ways to help convince us. He's been faithful to me. There's been times in my life I would get down to pray and didn't understand something. And even though what it was, you can relabel it. I've heard people try to label it everything in the world. Well, I not unbelief. What was it then? Whatever label you want to put on it, you're wrestling there. You're trying to figure something out. And God would come to you. It could be through a brother or sister that gave you an encouraging word. You might have seen a verse in the Bible in a new light. But God showed himself to you much like he showed himself to Thomas. So we know there's that one kind of unbelief that's kind of it's accompanied by a desire to believe. You're really wanting to believe this. Amen. I have counseled men and women who were not raised in church that wrestle with this. Even though they even felt like they'd given their heart to the Lord, they were wrestling trying to believe certain things. And there you begin to pray with them and show them things that God would reveal himself to them. The other kind of unbelief in the Bible is that hard-hearted refusal to believe. Hebrews 3:12 says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, friends and brothers and sisters, we look at this form of unbelief. This unbelief only
hinders the spiritual work of God in your life. It's that brazen, hard attitude that you're mad at God. You're frustrated to the place that, look, I'm not going to believe. To the place that you say it with such authority that even if God did come down and rend the heavens and the earth, you would still have that underlying thing where God didn't really do this, or God isn't this, or God isn't faithful, or God isn't good. You better be careful here today if you have an evil heart of unbelief. Come on. I've met men and women before who had hardened themselves to God and they would not believe because of frustration and anger and bitterness. We know that God cannot work through that. You would find a fine example there in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus went to His own city. I think it's also in Mark chapter 6. He went to His own city and they said something about Jesus is working miracles all around them. You know, other regions of the area. And all of a sudden they begin to say something like this. Is this not Joseph's son? Is he not a carpenter? They would not believe in Him. Even in the midst of signs, even in the midst of testimony, even in the midst of evidence, they would not believe. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are those of that nature even in this very country. They will not believe God. Even if God was to come down from heavens and rend the heavens or rend the earth, some just will not believe. You know, the children of Israel are a fine example of that. Man has fallen from heaven. God's opening Red Seas, and some of them still murmuring and complaining. Evil hearts of unbelief. So we look at this today, and I believe with all my heart, Thomas was not of that nature where he was hardened and embracing against God. I believe he was a man, we'll talk about it, who has seen a lot of things, who has seen a tragedy, and through that hurt and through that pain, he could not see the living Christ. Notice this, he said, I will not believe. Now early that Sunday morning, so to speak, back in that day, that first day, when Mary Magdalene first reported, you know the story, she went to the tomb before daybreak there or early in the morning. She reported that Jesus' body was missing in John chapter 20 verses 1 through 2. Notice this, that when she came back, I believe Thomas felt like he was in good company because none of the other apostles had seen him either. You know, you got a woman coming back, you know, a room full of men, and she comes back and says, Jesus is alive. And you know, Thomas is looking over there, and no doubt maybe some of the other guys, you know, two of them took off. Some of the other guys, you know, that was before, excuse me, some of the other guys are sitting there and they're talking, they're probably saying, well, you know, they're probably the same way Thomas was. They're wanting to see it as well. They're wondering as well. He felt like he was in good company. None of the apostles, except perhaps John, really believed that Jesus was alive. But then the women claimed they had seen him in Matthew 28:9. And then Peter in Luke 24:34. And then the two men on the road to Emmaus began to say they saw him in Luke chapter 24. But lastly, by that evening, all of Thomas's closest friends claimed that Jesus had suddenly appeared in the middle of a locker room meeting where they spoke and even ate with them. Everybody saw him but Thomas. It's almost like those that don't ever come to church and you try to tell them we're having a good move of God. It don't mean anything to them. I've been in some good revivals over the years, and those that just wouldn't come to revival, you tell them it was good. Somebody got the Holy Ghost. And the whole time they never said it, but you could look on their face, well, really, yeah. Must have had a good service. Come on. Some people have to see for some reason. Amen. Notice this. Everybody's seen but Thomas. Here Thomas is. I mean, he's of a doubting nature. Yeah, maybe he said to himself, I'm just going to read the verses to you because you can't expound it any better. In verse 19 it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they shall be retained. But then in verse 24, this is exactly what it says. But Thomas, it says this, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Amen. But Thomas. Amen. I wonder how many people feel that way today. Amen. Well, God touched so-and-so and God did this for so-and-so. But as for myself, I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to receive. I didn't cry. I didn't pray. I didn't feel it. My God, you might hear me today. Amen. You can be in the very room, the presence of Christ here. But if you're not there, present. You know what Thomas was? He was not present when Jesus came. I will say this. You've got to be present in church to know we're having church. Come on. And you got to be more present than in your body too. There's some folks here in body that ain't been here yet. I hope you ain't here. I hope all of you are right on board. I hope you're feeling the Lord as well. It's amazing. You're in times. You've been there. I've been there. There's been times I'm feeling the presence of God. And you look out there sometimes. When I say look out there, it could be here or anywhere. You look out there and there's some folks that don't have a clue what you're feeling. Come on. I'm going to turn it around on you. There's been times others have been feeling the presence of God. And I've been looking around and saying, man, I need to press in. Amen. Because what it is possible that you can be present in church, but not be present in church. Notice this. If we're not careful, here Thomas is, soon found himself in bad company. Notice that earlier, he thought he was in good company. He was, him and the other ones, all of them hadn't seen Jesus, except that woman that came and told us about it. Notice this. Now he's in bad company because everybody else has seen Jesus, except for him and Judas the Iscariot. It's bad company, isn't it? Would it be bad that all the apostles seen Jesus, but you and Judas? And no, you know Judas can't see him now. He's dead. He killed himself. So you know that's bad company. You're known now as the apostle that didn't see Jesus Christ yet. And you know what? That was mandatory for the first century apostles. It was being eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. Even as Paul became one of the last apostles because he's seen Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, hear me today. There's Thomas here. He was the only member of the 12 that haven't seen him other than Judas. As Thomas listened to his friends excitedly describe their encounter with Jesus, it did not excite him. He was skeptical and frustrated, and he even blurted out, unless I see the nail marks, unless I thrust my hands, I will not believe he's alive. Amen. I have met people that are skeptical, and I ain't talking about atheists. Come on. There's some people, I've met some preachers, if they're not preaching, it's not happening. Come on. They won't dare come hear anybody else preach. They got to preach. Hey, man, I enjoy listening to somebody else preach. I'll be honest with you. I hear myself a lot. Come on. And my wife, a little bless her heart, I said, I know she hears me just as much. Amen. But I preach myself in my mind all the time. I'm telling you this, that you know, there's some preachers, if they ain't preaching, it ain't happening. There's some people that believe that if they're not present there, if they're not the man that's in charge of overlooking it and judging it, then it cannot be true. Brothers and sisters, you can tell me good news about somebody that got the Holy Ghost in Walmart. And unless I got some reason not to believe it, I'm going to say amen to it. Because you know what? The truth is this. I ain't got to be present. Thank God that friends here were trying to testify to Thomas. Look, we've seen Jesus. But he would not believe it. Unbelief. Oh, now here we go. Well, atheists are unbelievers. I know that. But you know you can be an unbeliever sitting here today and not really believing in the power of God. You may be convinced in your theology. But your theology can become idolatry. You can worship dates and rituals and everything else. But I want a fresh moving of the Spirit. Don't tell me about the Old Testament, Peter. Peter said, look, I've seen more than the Old Testament. I've seen the living Christ. And Thomas says, unless I see it myself, I will not believe. This attitude can be in the church. And then people say it all the time. Well, if I didn't see it, if I didn't feel it, if I did not witness it, it cannot be true. And if it's going to be true, I've got to see it myself. Now we look at this today. I don't want to be too hard on Thomas. Man, we're tough on that guy. I'm telling you. Between him and Peter, we sock it to him. Amen. We forget the other ones ran as well. Amen. We look at this. Why didn't he believe? Why did Thomas respond this way to friends? He knew so well and trusted. I believe he trusted Peter and John. The words he spoke tells us of the horror that was actually going on within his spirit there. Thomas was past this. Thomas was a hurt person. Thomas was a wounded man. The gospel accounts of the death of Jesus Christ is actually very, very toned down to actually what they saw. They witnessed one of the most brutal, most wicked, most devastating things in their life, they watched the Son of God be whipped at a whipping post, nails shoved through His hands, crown of thorns on Him. We can't even imagine what it looked like. Sometimes, and you know, I believe the Bible is sensitive on purpose. Amen. I've often said this. That Bible's a proper book. It don't have to go on all the details. You know, when David cut the head of Goliath off, don't you glad it just left it at that? Aren't you glad there weren't photographers and cell phones back then? Mercy of heaven. It'd have been a mess. The Bible is a book that's gentle. And I think He did that for us. But even though it's gentle, we also understand when you do studies into Roman crucifixion, we also must understand the language that is used. Jesus died an awful death. And in front of these disciples, they watched His body be ripped to pieces. And my friends, it was more than just any average man. This was their future. This was their teacher. This was their Savior. He was the one that was going to usher in the kingdom. And now He's gone. I watched Him. I see Thomas looking at them and saying, look, I've seen Him. You saw it. You saw it, Peter. You watched as they whipped Him. You watched as they nailed Him. I watched as He died. I watched as they put the spirit aside. I watched as they wrapped Him in grave clothes. I watched as they put Him in the tomb. I watched as they rolled the stone there. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We look at this. He's seen so much. The slaughter of Jesus outside of Jerusalem had been so gruesome. Had been said, it's for Him. It is humanly impossible for Thomas to imagine a resurrection of a Jesus' body because it was so torn to pieces. And people could, maybe Peter looked at him and said, look, what about this? Lazarus came back. Yeah, but Lazarus was sick. They tore his body to pieces, Peter. There's no way he's walking. Come on. There's no way he's talking. There's no way. I've seen it. I know there's no way a man could get off that cross. There's no man. If they would have pulled Jesus off the cross in the last few hours, he still would have never been able to be able physically the same again. This had to be a miracle. How does that mutilated man raise himself? And let's not assume too quickly that we would have responded any differently than Thomas did at that time. Come on. You ever notice how we do that? I do it, you do it. We're always with Peter walking out the boat. And we're never with the disciples sitting in the boat. You ever notice that? Come on. We're always David going on the battlefield. You know, that's where we're going to preach it. The way we like to view it. We're always David on the battlefield taking down Goliath. We're never his brothers hiding behind the rock. Come on. You know, we're always that disciple that I can't believe they ran. Buddy, you'd have never ran so fast in your life. You thought you were fast in high school. Come on. You know, we're never the Peter that ever puts our foot in our mouth. You know, we're the beloved John that even though he wasn't there the whole time, he was very laid back. Come on. We're never the Peter that denies Jesus three times. We're always the John. We understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I can relate with all of them. Amen. There's times I've been with David on the battlefield, but there's been a time or two I found myself behind the rock. Amen. Yes, there's times that I put my foot in my mouth like Peter, but there's also times I stood with Peter at Pentecost and felt the boldness of the Holy Ghost. I can relate with Thomas. Can't you? Man, I feel like Thomas sometimes. I'm saying, Lord, I know You're there. And somebody else has seen this in their ministry. Somebody else has seen blinded eyes. Come on, who's with me? Somebody else has seen blinded eyes open. Somebody else has seen somebody healed for cancer. I hadn't seen that in my ministry yet. And deep down inside, I said, Lord, do You still heal from cancer? And there's a part of me that's screaming yes. But there's part of me that's saying, I've got to see this. You understand what I'm saying? We can relate with Thomas. We can relate with Thomas. But oh, what a sight for sore eyes. When Jesus came and talked to Thomas. Amen. Thomas' doubts may have been humanly understandable, but they're not commendable. You understand that? Just because something is understandable doesn't make it commendable. Yes, you may have been like David at times and like his brothers at other times, but his brothers were still wrong and so were you. You with me? Amen. Yes, there's times that you've been like the other ones that stood out in the forefront. But there's times you've been like Thomas. And guess what? God's grace is there, but we're not going to commend you for it. Amen. You still need to believe. And guess what? When I get down to pray, and sometimes I'm wrestling through things in my prayer life and asking God for things, you know what? He never commends any unbelief in me. He begins to doubt. He begins to come to me and say, won't you pick that word up? Won't you believe that Bible? He doesn't commend unbelief. He deals with it in grace and mercy and love and kindness and says, I've spoken to you. This is what you should believe. Brothers and sisters, don't you feel like it's commendable to have unbelief in your life? Yes, God's grace is here, but it's not a license to sit back and do nothing. No, you got to keep walking. You got to keep pressing. God wants to help us. He wants to see us do great things for Him. We cannot live like Thomas. We cannot live like him. Jesus was not in a hurry, if you notice, to relieve Thomas's anguish and doubts. 8 days. Could you imagine? You know, you're there. Everybody else has seen him. You ever been around somebody where everybody is having a conversation and you're the only one out? And it's not for being mean, but you ain't got a clue what they're talking about. Anybody been there? Amen. Sometimes, you know, I hope I'm a friendly person. Amen. I want you to like me and I want to like you. I promise you that from the bottom of my heart. I've told my wife, I feel like I could talk to a lot of people. I've met a few I couldn't. Amen. But I'll try to break the ice. As a guy sometimes, it's called guy talk. You walk up around a circle of guys and there have been a few times everybody's talking about something. This happened to me actually about hunting before. You know, they'll walk up there and you're just nodding your head like, yeah, I ain't never killed a deer. I remember killing a few squirrels one time, but I'm sitting there, yeah, don't they have a new thing? Oh, that's old, man. Okay, never mind. I'll just stay out of it. And then a minute ago, what about, no, that's not right. No, you got that. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet then. Can you imagine 8 days with Thomas and the disciples sitting around and they're talking, man, he walked right through the door. And Thomas is over there like, seriously, I ain't believing this mess. They're pulling my leg. They're joking on me right now. They know I'm a doubting nature and they're doing this on purpose. You know, I'm sure the disciples cut up every now and then. Then they talked about, I mean, he was so radiant. He was so beautiful. And when he said, peace unto me, you know what? It was like God himself spoke to me. When he breathed on us, I felt the chill of the Spirit. As he said, receive you the Spirit. We were regenerated. And here Thomas is like, really? I've been there a time or two spiritually. Come on. Well, everybody else is talking about it. You're sitting there like Thomas. You're sitting there saying, I wonder if it's real. I wonder. And you try to join in, but you ain't got a clue what you're talking about because you weren't there. But yet you want to sound cool. You want to fit in. Notice this. 8 days. He let Thomas stew on this for 8 days. This unbelieving. I believe he felt uncomfortably alone in the midst of joyful fellowship. Everybody else is joyous but Thomas. You ever been in a room with somebody that's kind of a little bit irritable? And you don't want them to hear you because you know, well, let's go over here and talk, you know. Maybe the disciples realize they're getting on Thomas's nerve. And they say, you know what, Thomas, why don't you go out there and do something? You know, can you go do this for me? And when he leaves, they start talking about it again. 8 days, they're trying to convince him. Did they debate about it? We don't know. We only have speculations about this. I believe maybe they started whispering around Thomas not to offend him. But the whole time, for these 8 days, Thomas's heart is crying out, I want to believe this. I want to believe it. I want to believe it. And again, all of a sudden, this is beautiful. All of a sudden, the risen Christ was in the room, in the midst again. Notice this, the door was there. He walks through again. He walks in this room. He says the same exact words he said to the disciples earlier. Peace be unto you. Here Thomas is probably like, what? Jesus? But Jesus didn't stop there. I want you to get this. This spoke to my heart today. Then the Lord turned at once. This is exactly what it says. Then saith he to Thomas. He didn't come there to see Peter. He didn't come there to see John or Andrew. Can you imagine as Jesus comes to this door for one man? I thought about this. I said, Lord, you came in that room just for Thomas. He walks in, and he walks out, I just believe everything. He said, "Peace be unto you." And as soon as he says that, he looks down at Thomas, and he says, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." The Lord evidently knew the words that Thomas had spoken earlier. He's saying, "Thomas, I'm here, and I'm here for you." And I would encourage you today, Jesus is here, and He's here for you. Yes, He's here for the multitude. Yes, He's here for your neighbor, but He's here for you as well. You ever felt God show up in a service just for you? I can't tell you how many times I felt like everything was just for me. I mean, I was humming a song on the way to the church. You know the song leader sang it. Come on. And you know what? The preacher got up there and you needed a message on encouragement. And boy, he talks about joys coming in the morning. Amen. All you know is everything in that service, it may have meant the same thing to my neighbor, but it felt like at that moment that Jesus came for Thomas or Jesus came for Derek. I want you to put your name there today. If you need that unbelief dealt with, if you're in the middle of suffering and you're in the middle of tragedy, if you're in the middle of turmoil, He's here. Put your name there. He's come here today and said, "I'm here. I'm the Savior. I love you, Thomas, even in the midst of your unbelief." Aren't you glad God's merciful? There's several times you didn't deserve Him coming in here and touching you like you got touched. Come on. Well, you lived above sin, but what about that heart? Amen. We ain't talking about you committing things. What did you omit? What that week did you omit? What did you not do? When did you not pray? When did you not just pray, but when did you not pray through? And the whole time, you're wrestling in your spirit. But Jesus shows up and says, "Thomas, you don't really deserve this. But in the midst of this failure, in the midst of this moment, I'm here, Thomas, and I want you to examine me. I want you to talk to me." And notice what Thomas did here. All of his doubts all of a sudden were dispelled. He said this, and Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." Amen. You ever met somebody that was just astonished and couldn't believe it? They're like, "Oh my, here Jesus is in the resurrected form and standing in front of Thomas." And all Thomas can say is this, "My Lord, my God, He's really alive. Oh mercy here. He's standing right here. I should have believed Him 8 days ago, but now I've seen. I believe it." Aren't you glad God persuades us and loves us even in the midst of unbelief? That big argument is, you think Thomas touched Him or not? I like what John Phillips says. He said, "I believe when he saw." Amen. When he beheld Him, he didn't need to touch Him to believe. I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, hear me out. You know what? Today, we may not physically be able to see Jesus. I may be just like Thomas. I don't believe we have to touch Jesus. But I'm convinced today, He's convinced me by His love. He's convinced me by His mercy. He's convinced me by His grace. I know He believes. I don't need, that one song says it. I don't need signs and wonders. He convinced me already by His love and grace. He's alive and He is real. He's alive and He is real today. This is amazing. Here was the first recorded post-resurrection confession of the deity of Jesus Christ. He didn't let Peter do it. He let old doubting Thomas do it. He is the first one to verbally recognize, recorded, the deity of Jesus Christ. He said, "My Lord, which is my Savior, You're on the throne of my heart. But Lord, You're not only on the throne of my heart, You're my Lord, but You're my God. You're on the throne of the universe. You're not just a Savior. You're the King. You're the Master. You're the Almighty. My Lord and my God." He's seen Him as He really was. Amen. But look at the great contrast as we are moving forward here. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Notice this, Jesus' rebuke is clear enough. There were others who had not yet seen Jesus but had believed. I believe that blind man heard He was resurrected. Come on. You notice the difference. Let me give you a good difference here. It's interesting. The first time Jesus revealed Himself to His disciples, you know, Thomas, but Thomas, he's not there. It says they were hiding in that room because of fear. You notice that? The second time, when Thomas was there, it don't say anything about fear anymore. Let me tell you why. When you get a glimpse of this resurrected Savior, He's like the sunlight on a dark... He's like the morning sun on a dark night. He just abolishes all fear. Here the disciples were. They were timid and now they're hiding. Now I believe they're telling it throughout the streets that one you killed is now alive. It don't say anything about fear. Once again, God, let us get a vision of the resurrected Savior and realize I ain't got to fear government. I ain't got to fear parliament. I ain't got to fear my neighbor. I ain't got to fear preaching. I ain't got to fear teaching. I can stand in Walmart or the mall and testify the goodness of Jesus. Why? Because I've seen Him. He's alive. You ever heard that song, He Lives? And I ain't going to sing it. Don't worry. I can't get past it. I just know it said He lives a lot. Amen. But if I ain't mistaken, and Lord forgive me if I've gotten it wrong, but if I ain't mistaken, that man wrote that song after an atheist kept trying to tell him, look, He's not alive, He's not alive. And on the way home, he began to say, He lives, He lives, He lives within my heart. Amen. I'm telling you today, I may not have seen Him physically, but there's something inside of me that's working. There's a testimony that's being forged. And the same thing in you. I see Jesus in you. I hope you see Him in me. He is alive. We look at this. And it tells us really what true believing really is. Faith is believing. The Bible describes it. It describes it like this. Faith is not blind. Some people say, well, faith is so blind, you don't get to see anything. You just got to believe in nothing. That's the biggest lie. I believe in a lot. I believe in God and He's everything. Unbelief is blind. You ever heard that? You see what I'm saying? Faith is not blind. Unbelief is. Unbelief is blind. Faith sees a reality beyond what the eyes can see. A reality that God reveals to us, which is more important and more, and in fact, is more real than what we see around us. Jesus is more real than this church right now. Just like I look out there, you know, you got a physical body. I say, hey, you can say hey back. But Jesus is just as real and more real than you are. We say, I don't see Him. That's faith. It's not blind. He's real. He's alive. Understand this. God reveals this reality to us. And He's a living, He's an active Word. When you read that Bible, that's God speaking right now. He lights our path. After His ascension, Jesus is only through, we know through testimony of the prophets, through your testimony, what He's done in your life. He's all around us. But this is the question today as I move forward. I won't be much longer. What is the answer to the doubting Thomas? Here, I want you to get this. If you don't think with me, then you won't get what I'm trying to... God showed this to me 5 years ago, and I'll never forget it, because I'll never look at this story the same again. I hadn't preached it. I don't think I've ever preached it here. Maybe I have or haven't. 5 years ago, I was praying. Excuse me. 7 years ago. It was 2 years before I was married. I was praying, and where did Kevin Barber pastor? Graham, North Carolina. It was a little church, and I remember pulling up to that church in the fellowship hall. I mean, it was dark out there. I didn't know where I was. Man, I'm telling you, I was scared, to be honest with you. Because you get out there, and you don't have to understand, evangelizing, you stay in some shady places. Especially when you pull up to it at nighttime. Everything looks bad. You could be in the middle of the suburbs. You wouldn't even know it. But I remember praying one night about Thomas. And I was dealing with a friend that was in prison, to be honest with you. And my friend in prison was becoming skeptical and atheistic. I said, Lord, how do you convince the doubting Thomases? And the Lord spoke to me, you show them the body of Christ. Say it again. How do you convince the doubting Thomases? He said, you show them the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is the church. Let me tell you the answer for that skeptic, for that one that's an unbeliever. You let them see Abundant Life Tabernacle operating like they should operate. And I believe we are. And God help us only to grow. But let them come in here. And when they come in here, they're not feeling the love of Derek Jones. They're feeling the love of Christ. You hear me? When they come in here, they're not hearing Derek Jones' words. They're hearing the words of Christ. When they come in here, they're not feeling the touch of just the church. They're feeling the touch of Jesus. They're hearing everything. Let the skeptic, let the Thomas, he had to see the body of Jesus. And this world today must see the body of Jesus. Once again, for the unbelieving Thomas, Jesus is here for you today. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. You hear that? Whom having not seen, you love. And it'd be amazing if it just used that word love there like we use it. But it used the agape love. You don't just love them. You haven't seen them, but you love them unconditionally. In whom through now you see Him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said, you haven't seen them, but through the love of God, because God is love, you have experienced Him. Amen? And this is what He said to Thomas as we're about to come to a close. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Nobody in this room today has physically seen the body of Jesus. Now, there's been visions. There's been people that have had glimpses of things spiritually. But I'm talking about like Thomas here, where Jesus is standing in front of him. He's got his hands out. He said, Thomas, touch, thrust your hands. Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? But guess one day when you finally get to see Him, guess what? You're not going to need to be convinced then. We're being convinced now. Blessed are those that have seen, that believe and have not seen. It is more blessed for you and I to believe on Him right now, even though we have not seen Him. But the Holy Ghost testifies of His presence to all of us. And if we find our seeing of Jesus is impaired, much like Thomas did, Thomas teaches us, hear me, not to declare this. Thomas, do not declare, unless I see, I will never believe. But rather, I'd rather somebody here today say something like this. I believe, but help my unbelief. That's the proper prayer, Thomas. It's not saying, unless I see Him, I'm not going to believe. No, if you have some unbelief today, once you look to God with the right heart and the right spirit, He will not leave you disappointed and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Stand to your feet all over this church. Stand to your feet all over this church. Amen.